consent and also gather information to what we're going to discuss, continuing from our previous listening session. So just to continue with the agenda, we're going to go with the vision, then see the approaches, and then we'll go back to that group processing for folks that have participated in the previous ones, you know, where everyone is seated at. We'll be divided again into groups and go through that entire process. But aside from that, to our volunteer team here, everyone can raise their hands and just introduce yourself and also your organization real quick.
I'm Chase with Chase Messerschmidt Community Health Network on behalf of Top 10.
I'm Julie Burns. I'm with Jumping for Healthy Kids.
Mark Lynch, Basic Needs Simple Solutions.
And Rachel Lowry, Marion County Public Health Department.
Yeah, and I'm Eve from as well, but I also want to do a general call out too, just to see who's in the room as well. So if everyone can just say your name and your organization, just raise your hand up and just take turns, and then we'll continue from there.
Naomi Kanja from the Indianapolis Public Library, and Bambi P from the Indianapolis Public Library, East 38th Street, Branch.
Thank you.
Hi, everybody. My name is Armani Johnson, and I'm here from BU Wellness Network.
Willie Johnson with Naptown Urban Farming.
Michael Nolan from Mirror Indy website, Documenter.
I am Allie Osberg with the Marion County Public Health Department. Andrew Jarrett, I'm a private contractor for the Marion County Health Department. Christina Froley with the Indiana Cooperative Development Center and the Indiana Farmers Market PD in Brown.
My name is Elijah Hershey, and I work with Kepler Institute.
I'm Cynthia Williams, and I work with Kepler Institute. Sierra Douglas, Rainer Johnson, Community Defense Project.
Oh, sorry, Harrison, I'm just a politician. I'm here just
Thank you for coming.
Hello.
Sophie Lindley, I'm kind of a public citizen, but also work with the Farm to School Network.
I'm Lashonda McKinney, private citizen, developer of a nonprofit, not Back to the Mill Inc., but also work with Kepler Institute.
Awesome.
My name is Oregon Johnson, and I'm
with
Kepler Institute, and I'm a volunteer with AARP Indiana.
I'm Kelsey Cook. I work for the Mitch Daniels Leadership Foundation.
Lynn Wright is a community advocate.
To those that just come in, just shout your name and organization. Not to put you all on the spot.
No, you're okay. I'm Nicole Woods, founder of Maze Page Garden, 501c.
Gotcha. Sorry. I saw you put your hand up.
I'm Davonna Carter. I'm a private citizen.
Nikki Augenbaum with Gleaners Food Bank.
Leonardo Colon with EOs and Soul Food Project.
My name is William Ray, and I'm a private citizen.
Okay. Yeah, shout out to all the public and private citizens out here. It's needed, but thank you so much. Any more?
Sarah Ferreira.
Taisha Daniels from Chicks in the City.
Awesome. Well, thank you again for everyone coming in. So we'll just continue with the next set of our agenda piece, which is the vision, and I'll be run with Julie as well. So thank you.
So what I'm going to do is start giving you a little bit of history for the food work that's been going on so that we can just have a little bit of context as we move into the next pieces of the work. So for those of you who were here last time, I've tried to reorganize it just a little bit so that I don't take as long. So here we go. Okay, so in 2014, the Indy food policy began. And it started with support from WISC. And the group was wanting to be a diverse group of community that included folks from really all the different areas in the food system. So those were three primary areas. One were folks that were in the food insecurity or hunger relief space. So think of people like Gleaners and Second Helpings and the folks that work in that space, any food pantry, food banks, those kind of folks. We also had people that were interested in trying to get more healthy food access into neighborhoods and communities. So think about how food gets to people within their neighborhoods, and a lot of that goes through retail operations, but if there aren't groceries, there's smaller retail operations that might have food that people purchase. And then the third area was really around the farmers and growers that we have in the community. So over a period of time, over a couple of years, this group sort of ebbed and flowed. There were people that came in the group, there were people who left the group. And in 2016, by that time, LISC, who had been supporting the group, had determined that around their sort of mission, they couldn't continue to really support it in the same way that they had. And about that same time, we also had a new mayor. And so the head of LISC and Marion County Public Health Department went to the mayor and really talked with him about the need for a more permanent way to support the food work in the community. And as a result of that, it created the first food program coordinator role that we had within the city. And in addition, LISC handed over sort of the work that the Food Policy Council had been doing. So for some of you, if you were engaged in that work, you might have seen things like the Neighborhood Food Champions programs. Those kinds of things were part of what was happening with the Food Policy Council back in that time frame. The first person who got hired in that role was Shelley Settles. I don't know if some of you worked with Shelley or remember Shelley back then. But she was new to the community, and what she basically did was she started first to work with the mayor's advocates in the neighborhoods to start to understand from a neighborhood level what were people interested in related to food. And you know, now it's 2016, so things like the 88 stores had closed. What came shortly after that in 17 was the Marsh closing. But people, neighborhood folks were certainly concerned about the lack of grocery stores in neighborhoods. There were still people in the growing community that had interest in needs, things they needed, like water access and zoning changes and a variety of things to improve that growing need. And of course, hunger relief has not gone away yet, as we know. So the other thing that Shelley did was she continued the programs like the Food Champions. Those are still going on today. And she also supported the development of new things like Community Compass, which Hunger Network was started with support from the city and the Indy Chamber. At the same time, she put on the Food Summit in 2017. That was the first one that we had. And she also enlisted a small group of folks to do some strategic planning around the whole concept of the Food Policy Council. And during this process, they gathered community input through focus groups, through surveys, through public meetings, And all that information was brought together, and about that time was when Shelley moved on to a different role. And Malele Kennedy took over, and Malele actually has joined us here tonight, so she's back here in the room. But Malele now moved into that food programming coordinator role. And and so she sort of picked up where Shelley left off. So she gathered that information that we had from the strategic planning session. And with support from a local funder, we were actually able to hire a consultant who gathered all of that information plus additional information to really look at both nationally what types of food policy council programs worked well in other parts of the country. She spoke with national organizations that work with food policy councils around the country, so that she was getting sort of the best practice of how that those were forming. And she also did some extensive work with a variety of organizations and partners in the community that were working in the food space. So she again sort of took their pulse on where they were at that point in time. So what one of the things that we learned from that research work was that the food policy councils that were connected to city governments tended to be more successful. And it wasn't necessarily that food policy councils that weren't connected weren't doing anything. It was just that within a city infrastructure, you have the framework of a set of resources that can support this work, and it becomes easier when there's a connection, a more formalized connection with that, with a city government entity. And that is why they tend to see more progress in those communities. And she actually talked with the leaders of those organizations. Some of them had evolved to that point, so in essence they had started as an entity that wasn't connected to the city government and moved to that format, and some just started out of the box in that format. And so she was able to learn from their experiences, you know, what worked, where they struggled, the kind of barriers that they dealt with, and et cetera. One of the other things she learned when she spoke with a lot of our local funders was that, and I didn't know this at the time when she brought this to our attention, was that in Marion County, we have one of the highest per capita number of 501c3 entities in the country. Okay. And so the funders have seen people constantly coming to them needing money, right? And so that process, they basically were advising, look, we understand that you need some sort of an organized structure, but can you think about that in ways that are different than setting up another 501c3, because they're difficult to maintain. They have a lot of expense, and funders weren't interested in continuing to fund that overhead expense. Now, they did say they were interested in funding food-related work. So it wasn't that they weren't interested in the topic of supporting food system work in the community. What they really were advising was, you know, can you think about this in maybe a different way than standing up another 501c3? The other thing she learned from many of the organizations and community members' feedback was there was a not only an interest, but a need for policy change work. And so that sort of original thinking by the original Food Policy Council that policy was important was still strengthened through that work. The result of that work was that we were able to pass an ordinance that created the Food Access Advisory Commission and also the new Division of Community Nutrition and Food Policy. And so what's important about that is that when that ordinance got created and passed, it now means that we have this infrastructure created within our city government that would have to, that would require city county council to go back and actually change the ordinance in order to take it away, right? It's not that this is a program of the mayor's office, and when the mayor changes, the program goes away, right? So we have this in our city ordinances, that we have this division within the Office of Public Health and Safety, and that we have this Food Access Advisory Commission to support food work within the community. Okay. So really, that was our first policy win, right? So we started to move into that space. While the ordinance added infrastructure to support the community-based food work, it didn't solve all of the infrastructure design requests that we had asked for. And where it left a gap was really between the city's food division and the community members that wanted to engage but weren't on the commission. Now, one of the things that is in the ordinance is that the coalition, which is really the community...
Recording in progress.
So now we created...
That's all right, but you're really the community people that are engaged, like you all. The coalition has a function of selecting folks to participate on the, or sending folks forward to be added to the commission, okay? So some of the roles on the commission are by specific function, like there's a role that somebody from Marion County Public Health Department sits in, that's not somebody who gets voted on, it's who they assign, but there are other individual roles on the commission that are members of the community, and the coalition provides the names of those people when there is an opening for someone to be on the commission. So other than really through the BEAT newsletter, which is where I think many of you may have found out about this, we have a mailing list of, I don't know, maybe 1,500 people now who sign up and receive the BEAT newsletter, which comes out of Malele's division to support this community coalition. We don't really have a structure or a organized group of people who guide the coalition to connect in with this division within the city and the role of the commission. So let me just talk a minute about when the commission got created, like what we've been doing since the commission got created. So obviously the first thing we had to do was fill the positions, right? So we had to go through a process of getting people nominated, getting selected. Some of these positions are picked by the mayor. Some of them are picked by city county council. But a slate of people has to be presented to them. And so that process got created. We've been creating the structure and forming committees. We have a very diverse group of folks who are on that commission. And so we've been learning about those different backgrounds. You can see from here they, you know, some are growers, some are food justice folks, some are in public health, etc. We've been learning more about Indianapolis's food system and policy councils and the food needs. We've been setting priorities and working on those. And we've also been learning how advisory commissions are allowed to function within city government. And because of that infrastructure, we've also been developing amendments for the ordinance. So for example, originally we had wanted more people, more community members to be on the commission. It didn't make it through the first round, and so we have now gone back to, in fact, it's at the commission for the city county council right now, to add more community members into the commission infrastructure. And we've really been working on how do we connect the dots between the different entities that are working in food space. So what have we accomplished? Well, one of the projects that we have been working on is actually creating a food fund where there is money to work on food-related projects and efforts for all three of those areas of work. So whether that is the hunger relief, whether it is for growers, whether it is for retail access. And I think one of the things we learned very strongly within COVID was that we needed this more structured system to support something like COVID, right? When a community is impacted on something of such a scale that you have to have a way to really get food to people. I see Nora back here in the role that Second Helpings played in that. And, you know, literally Malele had to call people like the Colts and say, will you open up your stadium so that we can assemble boxes of food? And there were other organizations in the community that came together to make that happen. And luckily Indianapolis is a place that does that well. But we realized we really need a better structure. So if something like that occurs in the future, we'll be in a better position. We also have secured some funding to work on communication. We realize the commission isn't a huge group. The people on the commission most of them have day jobs, and so they're not just only doing commission work. And there's a lot of work happening in Malele's division, and we know we need to do a better job of communicating out to the community what's happening with the commission and gathering input to come back in to those vehicles. And so I'm going to make a plug right now, but we'll remind you in a little bit that on your table, the sheet that you have that has on the bottom all that interest information has the agenda on the top. What we would like you to do is circle the things that you either have experience in, or if you would like to participate with the coalition in that area of expertise. So for example, if you pick communication, we are going to take those people and there's going to be some focus groups who will participate. Hopefully we will ask you to participate in some focus groups to look at how we create that communication plan and approach, right? If you select leadership, we will ask you to participate in the next steps of what we are gathering from these information sessions. Now, those two I know we have plans for. The other ones we will need as we continue to evolve. And so if you pick the other areas, don't worry. We have you captured in our information, and we'll be back once we get to that point in the process. We've also been submitting grants to a variety of places so that more funding can come in. We're working right now on three different grants to try and support urban grower water hookups. And so you will continue to see more of that type of work. There's also, it's a very significant grant that has been applied for to support a food hub, the infrastructure to build a food hub, a multi-million dollar grant. So that is in the works right now as well. So let's talk a little bit about our goals, and then we're going to sort of move to the next section. So right now for 2024, the commission has actually reviewed our food priorities for the first time since we set them up initially. We have four major priorities right now, which are urban growers, the development of a centralized food hub, a work group that's looking at engaging and really removing barriers around how people can access federal food programs better. So think of things like SNAP or WIC or school feeding programs or childcare feeding programs, you know, ways to streamline some of that work. We added to that food waste got added to our list as well for 2024. We are working on getting the city approval for the ordinance revision to add those additional community members. Like you said, it is at the council now waiting for next steps in their world. We have started to add community-based groups to come and present to the commission so that we can learn about the different programming and things they're doing and how those things might align and collect with the needs of what we're looking at. And we really have been trying to get to the point that we are at tonight and last week when we had our first listening session, was to engage the community back into the discussions to connect into that work that the commission is doing and Mullaly's new division. So it has taken us a little bit of time to organize those structures and build that up, but now we're really ready to work on that gap that I talked about a minute ago. So what we've got here is just a visualization of to try to help you in your brains connect the dots a little bit. I know sometimes when people put a lot of information at you at once, it's hard to get your head around it, right? So let me just walk through this for a minute, and then we're going to go on to next steps. So the left side of this is really what exists today, right? So the advisory commission and Mullaly's division of community nutrition and food policy got created under the ordinance, okay, in 2021. Since that time, we've created the infrastructure to have this food fund, okay? And this is a way for philanthropic organizations or anybody to donate money. So far, we've raised $225,000 to go into this. And the city has a budget of funding as well that can go into this to be used on food-related programming projects from a year-to-year basis. So part of the commission's goal is to support increasing this money, looking for ways to do that, okay? You got the mayor's office, right? Because they connect in with Mullaly's division. They also appoint folks over here, right? And the city county council does too, right? So those are those. There it is. Okay, so right now, because we really didn't have this going, this group has some work groups and we're trying to move some things forward, like the food hub, like the money for the water for the growers, right? We didn't want to just not take advantage of funding that was available in the community. Some of them are federal grants, some of them are state grants, some of them are from foundations in the community. We wanted to try and keep that going so that we could continue to work on food. So, but the intent of this group long term is to really be more focused on policy, okay? Now remember, the coalition brings people over to this group, and what this group voted on and all at 100% said was, we need more of this group on this group. So assuming that as that ordinance work goes through, we up the number of members. Well, Lily, how many would it be that we, is it nine? It's six new ones, but would that take us up to 19 total?
We've got four now.
We've got four. Okay, so we would have 10 on the commission that are coming from the coalition. So these are examples. These are not set in stone things. We would hope that we would always have neighborhood committees. We need a membership committee because we have to feed people over. And we need a food fund advisory group. The commission is not allowed to make decisions about funding. We're not allowed to give people money.
So then who is on the Indianapolis Food Access Coalition Board between 2021 and 2022?
We don't have one.
How are you able to apply for help?
How we applied through a fiscal agent. We didn't apply.
Which was who?
Which was Gypsy.
Okay. And how were you able to make that decision?
What do you mean? How were we? There was an application and we applied.
Who applied? The coalition or the commission?
The commission didn't apply. The commission can't apply. There was a group of people who were interested. I happened to be one of them. There was a work group of people from the community related to food who applied. Anybody could apply. It was an application that was out there, as long as you met
the age. But Indianapolis Food Access Coalition was on the application, in writing.
Right, there were members of the community that were part of that. Well, there's 1,600 members on that list, right? So anybody could have participated. So I think if you want to talk more about that, we can add that over here to the parking lot, and we'll come back to that. But right now, I think we're trying to move to the next part to the agenda so everybody can engage. So is that something you want to know more about?
Yes.
Okay. So
the application.
So the LFPA application.
And you can write RFSI funds as well.
Okay. So there are, this is an example of types of committees that could exist, right? And what we want to move forward with tonight is to get your input, and we're going to go through a couple of exercises here, to really figure out how do we organize this, and how should it connect into these other entities that exist with the ordinance, so we have an opportunity to work more collectively together. Okay, so I think what we want to do right now is we want to take a couple of minutes and let people ask questions really about what I just talked about. Like if you need clarification on that, I'm happy to ask that, or if there's other questions that are supporting how we're going to try and get here, that's what we want to talk about for a few minutes. So,
well, I just had some questions. The food hub, you mentioned that you came up with that idea during COVID, right? Like there needed to be some type of relief for the city if a major disaster happened.
Well, that isn't exactly what the food hub is, but there, what we did talk about was going forward, in case we get something else like a COVID, we need to have a way to work with that type of a thing.
So how would the food hub be set up? Like who would be working it? Can local farmers get involved?
Absolutely. So I think we want to put, that's a parking lot item, because we could spend a lot of time talking
why
about
why are these parking lot items? This is a public forum.
Well, we'll come back and talk more about it. Right now, what we're trying to do is really look at a way to move forward with a structure. If there are specific questions.
How can you move forward with a structure if you can't answer questions that are being asked right now about the functioning of the Indianapolis Food Access Coalition and the Advisory Commission and how it has worked the past 3 years?
Well, that's what I've been trying to explain to you, Sierra, is that the coalition hasn't been functioning the way that we would have liked it to function, because it wasn't set up, we didn't get to set it up the way we originally thought we were going to. And so as a result, what we're trying to do now is take some time and talk about how we can get it to that point. If there are questions about historical decisions or programming, I'm happy to talk to people about that, and we have other people that will, and if we need to have another public forum to talk about that, we can do that. But that's not what we're trying to do right now. So if you can sort of bear with us and help us move, you know, forward, that would really be helpful.
I have.
What were the, you had the original plan, what were the barriers that stopped that original plan so we could plan ahead so that doesn't happen again?
So part of it had to do with the way that commissions are designed within the city. There are a couple different versions. Some of them are advisory, and I can't remember what they call the other version, but this one happens to be an advisory commission. And as a result, it has certain limits within its framework of what you're allowed to do and what you're not allowed to do. And because what got went through the ordinance was to set us up this way, some of the things we had originally thought we could do, which would have given a stronger connection between these two, we didn't get to do. So that's why we're having to come back and do this work now, right? We can't change the way that advisory commissions work within the city. That is the way they work. There are many advisory commissions for all kinds of things. What we can do is capitalize on what the advisory commission is allowed to do, and then we can try and balance that out with the other, with the additional work, and connect the dots. And that's what we're trying to think through. Yeah, Christine.
Just a really quick question of clarification on the coalition. Who acts as the fiscal agent for that? Because it's not a 501c3.
No.
So is there an entity that is acting as a fiscal agent?
Not officially.
Okay, thank you. That helps. And that's probably one of the drawbacks.
Yep, right?
And so do you have documented, if you don't have it off the top of your head, that's okay, a resource available to share about what the commission can do? I know there's been a lot of talk about what they cannot do.
Yep.
I think what would be helpful for me, I'm going to go on a limb and assume other community members here, like, we would know how to best serve you if we understood what you can do or what you're capable of.
That's wonderful. Can we add that to the list? Because we can get that out.
There's like documentation or resource that you provide.
Well, okay. The actual ordinance lays out what it can do. But, okay. And also the work we've been doing as a commission, we have some slides that I think do clarify that. And we can certainly share that.
Okay.
I'll know what that means.
All right, just a quick question. So after we figure out what kind of group maybe that we want to do in this group, what's the next step? Is the people in the group going to do it, or are you going to pull from this? Or are you going to pull from a different organization?
So that's if you put on your information that you're interested in leadership, if you circle that thing, right? Then you are on the list, the sort of short list of people that would be contacted to be engaged in how it evolves to the next step.
So you're basically gathering community information, and then from that, from these meetings will then be asked to move forward with
some support, right? We have the opportunity to engage a consultant to support that group, that group of people.
With that being, what kind of position would that be? Would it be a paid position, an unpaid position?
I think that's what the group has to decide, right? And one of the things we're going to talk about here in a minute is different types of organizations are structured so that we can start to think about that.
And this is a follow-up question of mine. So once we get the information, we do focus groups afterwards, get all the information, then those people would then decide, say we do a 501c3, then that group of people in those leadership roles and those focus groups, we would then start a 501c3 based on the information, and then the people involved in that would decide then who's on the coalition board?
If that's what the group decides they want to do, okay. Right? I mean, there's, again, as you were at the last minute, there's a number of ways to look at organizing, right?
I was just clarifying just exactly how much control basically control this commission, this coalition would have. And it sounds like we decide and then we get picked. Like, who decides that, who gets picked at that point?
You guys have to decide. I mean, all we're picking,
sorry.
All we're picking is your interest level off this
board.
So
anybody here who served with a leadership role, then you will contact them, and then we will be brought in, and then we will then take interest in that into group forums.
And you're going to work with somebody to evolve something that will work.
Okay.
Right? That will work in hand in hand with the commission and with the division.
Yeah,
right?
But I don't think that board will have control of funding.
The funding decisions will need to be made in this group, right? Because this group's not allowed to.
All right.
Can we tap into the funding to get paid if we're part of the coalition?
Well, if there's enough money. I mean, you guys, the group has to decide how that money's going to be spent, right?
Are you the leader of this, and where's the other Indie Fact board members? Why are they not present at this forum?
We all are doing different roles within the commission, right? And I offered to host these meetings, and I offered to identify a group of community partners to help me shape this. And so Mark and Chase and Rachel and Ephraim all have helped design what we're doing here tonight. The commission knows the meetings are happening, but every commission member doesn't participate in every single item that the commission is working on.
Also, the ordinance says that the commission and the coalition have to be independent, so members of the commission cannot serve in leadership roles on the coalition. So,
but they could participate in a public forum. Like,
yes.
They could be here listening, I guess is her point, right?
Yes.
I mean, they can.
The coalition meetings are open.
Yeah. So they certainly can.
They can or they don't.
Right. I mean, you know, they're commission members are doing a variety, you know, there's like somebody else is working on the urban growers work and somebody else is working on, you know, different pieces of the puzzle. So everybody's sort of volunteering in their way. Okay, one more question.
You said there were 1,600 members and that is the...
That's just the mailing list of the B.
Okay, that's all I want to know. Okay,
yep.
What is that?
Yep.
Okay.
So it started with the original Food Policy Council people, and then when it got handed over to the city, as people had an interest in food, they just kept getting added.
Okay.
Right? So those are all people who are interested in food. Okay. So if additional questions come up that people want answered, we'll put them in the parking lot, and we'll come back to how we're going to get you that information. Okay?
If you want to write some things on the parking lot,
Okay, so next up is Rachel.
All right, hello everybody. My name is Rachel Lowry. I work at the Marion County Public Health Department. Thanks for being here tonight. Great questions, great conversations. I just did some quick research on examples of different ways that these type of coalitions or councils, whatever they're called across the country, are structured to kind of help give you some ideas of ways that we could be structured here. And it's not limited to this list either, so.
Do you have a copy?
But I can send out the links to the websites that I found these on. One of them is a really good resource I found. It's called, I don't know if anybody wants to write this down, it's called From Partnership to Policy, Promising Practices for New Food Policy Council.
Please.
I know, it's very long. From Partnership to Policy, Promising Practices for New Food Policy Councils. And it, yeah, they have really good, that's just where I got my information. And there's also some good information from Johns Hopkins. They have a good resource for food policy councils. So one of the examples, I'm not gonna be biased, is an independent coalition. So this is just kind of a self-organized group. There's no paid positions. It's just the kind of community comes together, makes decisions. There has to be a separate fiscal agent, which we've sort of talked about. So that would have to be a decision in that structure. Being part of an existing nonprofit is another example. This would kind of have that fiscal agent built in and a little bit more support from that existing nonprofit. And Julie is gonna give an example as Jump In is part of the United Way here, so she'll give a little more details on that structure in a second. And then creating a 501c3, like we kind of discussed before, that would be where the 501c3 itself would be the fiscal agent, and everybody would be part of that organization, likely some paid positions, just kind of depends on, there's a lot up in the air, so sorry for all the ambiguity and vagueness at this point. So that's why we need everybody's help, so thank you for showing up. So the 501c3, which I imagine most of you, it sounds like, are very familiar. You either work for one, you volunteer for one, you run one, all everything. And then another example that I found is part of like an extension office. So I guess that would be Purdue Extension here. Would also be a way that that would be kind of the fiscal agent, and there would be like some support coming from that as well, which they're also a sort of a nonprofit, but that's just another example.
Can I clarify that?
Yeah.
Purdue Extension will not act as a fiscal agent. They would have to pull down a grant. I worked for them.
Okay.
That's good to know. There is some law that becomes pass-through money, and that's illegal.
Okay.
Well, so Purdue Extension could become the program manager for it and pull down grants for it.
Maybe that's what.
But not a fiscal agent like writing checks. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. Yes. Thank you. Thank you for that. Okay. So those are my examples, and Julie has some more in-depth example.
So I'm just gonna give you an example of how Jump In is structured, because we're one of those types of organizations that what we're technically called is an initiative. So there were a group of organizations in the community that wanted somebody to work on childhood health, childhood obesity, which is what we focus on. And, but they didn't wanna create another 501c3. And so they tucked us up under the United Way. So what that means is that the United Way gives us our 501c3 status. So when we apply for grants, we apply technically as Jump In for Healthy Kids / United Way of Central Indiana. And they pay all of our bills. They do all that back office administrative things, right? But my initiative has to fund the work that we do. So they do give us some in-kind funding, so to speak, or resources. So for example, we get space in this office building. This is where we come to work every day, right? We don't have to pay for that space. That is an in-kind donation to Jump In. But I do have to pay for my staff's salaries. I do have to pay for the health insurance that from them. I do have to pay for my website. I do have to pay for copying expenses, right? So What I don't have to worry about is sort of the legal issues that come with running a 501c3. I don't have to worry about getting my financials audited. United Way audits my, I almost sort of look like a division of United Way, but I'm really not. I'm this sort of separate entity. Yes?
Yeah. Sorry, I have a question about that. So right now you're working with United Way. How does that structure look like after this, whatever we decide gets formed? Is that, you guys, are you still going to be?
We're never going to become a 501c3.
I understand that. What I mean is, you're connected with United Way through what, the IndyPAC side of it, the policy side of it?
No. Jump In for Healthy Kids, which is a totally separate division,
yeah,
or entity, right, is connected to United Way. That doesn't have anything to do with, like, FACT, other than I sit on FACT because I sit in one of those seats.
Yeah, I apologize. I thought you were reading, you were talking about your...
No, I'm talking about Jump In for Healthy Kids, yeah. Right? Just, it's an example of how you take an initiative or something that you want to do, like this group. If we identified, if you all decided that you didn't want to stand up your own 501c3 for all the reasons that make that difficult, but you wanted to have a more formalized structure, there might be an existing 501c3 that would say, hey, the work that you are doing is something that we could support in some way, just like the United Way was willing to do with Jump In. And you sort of tuck yourself inside them, right? And so you get the benefits of that 501c3 without having to do as much work and have as much expense. Yeah, Christine.
Sorry to be repetitive. So is United Way your fiscal agent?
Yes.
Okay. And they'll audit, they take care of, yeah. Okay, thank you.
Yeah. So does anybody know what a fiscal agent is?
Yes.
Okay. It just, the term was thrown around. I just want to make sure I'm being more confused with that, right? Because to the point that Christina made a minute ago, you need the fiscal agent if you're going to play with money, right? Somebody has to pay bills. Somebody has to be able to say that when, if you take grant money in, that it's being properly protected, all of that. Your fiscal agent does that. But you can have other people who support you from a programming perspective. Like the United Way doesn't determine the work that I do with Jump In. It's my job to do that with my advisory group to determine how we're going to work on childhood obesity, right? So the United Way isn't saying, oh, Julie, you've got to do what I say you do. No, they're just taking care of my back office needs and making sure I'm legally appropriate. Okay. All right, so next up is, Ephraim, you're going to get us going with our
discussion. Yeah. Thank you for that, Julia. I know it's a lot to take in, even for me as well. It's a lot of data and information, but you've heard the vision, the progress, the different structures, the different methods and approaches, right? So the next step would be, congratulations, you're now part of this next agenda item. And that's part of like the groups here that we are all divided in. And do we have some free chairs in any of the tables here? We got two over here. Hate to put you all on the spot here, but if you want to fully participate in our next exercise, we'd be very grateful to have you guys here. There's two spots for y'all to participate in. If not, all good, just listen in. But the next part, oh yeah, you got just right over here. No pressure, I know, it's a little spotlight. but yeah, so first what we're gonna do is we have some sheets of paper here, and it's just gonna be some self-reflection. I'm still gonna be up here, but some self-reflection as in just write down what you think about just this entire process and your own reflective thoughts of like what, what all this information has been presented on when you look to design and really design how this coalition is going to operate, right? So that's probably gonna be like just a few minutes for you guys to write that down. And then transitioning into the next segue would be your discussion and Q&A. So then I hope everybody in their table likes each other, because this is going to be a group assignment for the tables. To where you have a larger sheet of paper here to where you could all write down, think of it like a simulator on like how to design this coalition moving forward. You know, how is that going to be looked at? What is that framework looked at for a coalition such as this? You've seen those structures. There's probably other structures that maybe you guys may know that we did not mention. You guys can bring that up in that larger piece of paper moving forward. And then I would ask for every table here to designate somebody that can help report out in that way. And then we could collect, we could gather those thoughts collectively towards the end. So yeah, we'll just have a few minutes just self-reflecting on that, and then I'll just stay here, and you guys can easily transition into that discussion piece if you guys have passed that set, and then we will just go from there. But I'll just be here to be like, if it's like a few minutes, I'll just officially say, all right, discussion time, everyone. Like, please fill in something in that large piece of paper so that we can see what comes out from it. So yeah, let's do that self-reflection piece first, and then we'll go on.
So,
so are we creating that, what you call it, what they showed on that video, basically, that framework?
I woke up this morning. I'm alive and more about it. You know, folks that didn't make it. How you doing, Logan?
I'm fine.
Okay, so what I guess we have, you guys already filled out your sheets here. So I guess what they're looking at, because
right,
here's the problem.
Okay, so yeah, well, yeah, wait, this is still square one. So what was
if I'm understanding it right, we have to put together on how we can make it make sense. So as far as they're talking about a fiscal engine as far as a 501c3, and I guess they're looking for that. Okay, so I filled out my sheet. I don't know what everybody at the table do, but I'm a part of majority of what's going on up there as far as food coalition part. As far as the food insecurity, because I am in a food desert, and I am a 501c3, and I provide transportation to and from. So, I guess they're looking for folks in my area that's supposed
to create a framework.
To be able to create.
But do they say that framework that they have anymore?
Yeah.
Trying to get people that like-minded.
So they need the members, which everybody said what they did. I missed half of it. But that's what they need. They need us to be able, as far as the food, because we're talking about United Way and Gleaners, I guess. Who was this? CFAC. Who is it?
Urban Growers.
That'd part be us.
So, Urban Growers, Food Hub, Access, etc., and the food program, and food waste. So, I'll be kind of owning your part.
So I'm just writing our names, because once we get it from here, we gotta put it here. So, and once we put the areas there and try to solve this problem that they have, if I'm getting this right, I'm gonna call Julie. Hey, Julie. Ephraim.
That's the framework.
Ephraim.
It's not working.
Right. No, I
if we were to stay, you guys would be listen, so we're trying to get this together. So break this down to us. You have growers here.
Okay.
You have a 501, you have a 5A1C3.
Okay.
You have a transfer station here.
Okay.
And we have food waste and food insecurity. So you have majority of what we need at this table. So help us understand how we're gonna put what we're doing to help you guys and put it here. Break that down.
Yeah. I'll try my best. First of all, thank you all for participating. So what this is like kind of like a survey of interest, you know, for just for anybody that pulled up, you know, to the listening session, right? Because essentially what this is going to be is think about it like you are part of a coalition, like a community coalition, right? You're here to decide, right? Or, yeah, write a framework, right? How will that coalition operate, right? That addresses, you know, food access, like that type of food, right? Like is it going to be, like for example, if it's a 501c3, right? Then how will that organization itself operate? And then this comes into where if we are moving on to, as soon as we determine the structure, right? We will say, oh, listen, we have some folks already interested that are already coalition members that want to participate in this specific capacity.
And we can work together as a team.
Yes, you'll be able working together, but that's later on. But first you gotta decide, you gotta design how this coalition
so it sounds like first they said they need the 501c3 to be able to bounce off of whatever grants or whatever.
Right, that's one.
So once we get. Oh, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, like, what particularly do you want to tell why?
Right.
Put it out on here on what we think we need to get.
Like, leadership structure. Of a coalition, so like, what's the vision? What does that look like from the top down, and how does that affect the program, right? How do you guys run it as a coalition? You know, that's
how will we run this coalition?
Yeah, if you were in that seat, right? If you were in this seat to dictate how that structure is going to look like. How would that look like? Envision. Like,
so it will work with us coming together as a team. So first we will gather all our farmers and growers to be able to
cook it. Right, like you guys are all founders, right? And then just say like, hey, like now that we are a coalition, right? Who does what? Right? It's like an exercise. Yeah, like who does what?
But it's just amongst us where there's...
Oh, no, because everybody will report out, you know, what they feel as a table exercise, how this coalition works. So you'll see other examples, right? So I hope that helps. Yeah.
I forgot what it is that you do, and you don't know it. I know these guys are growing.
I can tell you very something. I actually did this for a table person. Who seconds
that? That's the coalition. You're right there.
I don't want to talk. I'm saying from my perspective,
but people don't know how to get to it.
People don't know.
Doing the best they can, right? Because it's all volunteer based, so they're only open once a month. So maybe, you know, some people get there at that time. What happens to the other, you know, 9 million, right?
So what if there's more expensive to get to it?
So the
transportation piece of it, because there are people that just go, we deliver. We are saying, we have a website that we can go to. It's
I think you need to write some more rights in that town.
Oh, I thought you were describing.
No, but we gotta, I mean, John said, once we get it here, then we can be able to.
Oh, you wanna put on the talking?
So we can play it out. You're not gonna sit, we don't.
I'm just taking notes.
Oh, okay.
I'm not a member. I'm a reporter.
Oh, okay, no.
Okay, so when it comes to a framework.
Thank you.
Like, I'm looking at, like, they have some that look like pyramids. This one looks just like.
Okay.
The framework is like the rectangle section, but it's like.
So we need to start putting frameworks on there. What would be first?
Leadership, because it's like it's hard to drive what the issues are, so I think leadership.
Are we putting it here, or we going to?
Here, I'll write it on here first, then I can write it.
Okay.
Yeah, leadership, right, so someone to drive what's here.
Okay.
No, that makes sense.
Yeah.
So once we establish leadership, programs such as committees.
Well, we need, and then we also need the knowledge, so everything be at one place.
Education.
So folks can be able to know what exists, what's where, and what's out there. Exactly. Almost like a marketing. I mean, because if I don't know, I can't come to get to it, right?
Right.
So.
So would that also go with communication?
Yes.
Yeah. And then, once we be able to put that communication out, you know, being given the time frame and this and that, and then access for transportation, and once we, you know, be able to figure out what's where. Okay, now we need to set up some type of transportation because there's barriers.
Right. So we're dealing with barriers too?
Most definitely. That I want to transportation services and food.
So are we talking about barriers too?
For families.
I like that. It has to be here.
Oh, yeah, we can put it there.
So we set barriers to transportation, but there's barriers everywhere because waste is another barrier.
Well, we know that waste, all of it on here is a barrier. You really don't have to use barrier as long as transportation is there because it's here. Food insecurity, all this is here. Farming, and I think we need to be last on there because.
What do you mean, the growers?
Yes, the growers and producers, and the reason being is because we're going to be getting the food to the place. That's what I'm doing.
But that almost could be another barrier too, because growers, when it comes to funding, you might not have the funds in order to grow the crops that you need to grow.
But hold on. So you have barriers. Oh.
But hold on, but it won't be a barrier if they have funding. So if they have funding, and us growers are producing food as a whole, okay? They're gonna have to be able to fund us so we can make sure we're getting the food out to the community. And we will solve the barriers, and I know I will be able to solve some of the transportation, and it can't be free because I have to pay people to get in the vehicles and run them around and get people to and from.
That's everything. So would that be another one? That wouldn't necessarily be finance.
What?
To have the people to work all of these different. So even if it's not a barrier.
Over the top, this handling each one of those.
And the leadership role?
Well, somebody still need to be somebody there for the leadership role to help hold. Because one person doing that.
No, the leadership will probably need to be a group too.
Yeah, most definitely.
That are adhering to whatever policies that they're supposed to adhere to.
I agree.
Did you say something else besides worry?
Well, it's a lot. It's a lot.
You said another good one. I couldn't remember what you said. All right, so we got education and communication, waste, transportation. I guess all of these things would need to be.
And then there needs to be some type of nutrition in there. So when they.
But that would go with education?
Well, it would be for waste because some people need to be. Some people need to fly. They don't have the knowledge to know how to even cook the food. And
so that would be under education.
I have a way, but the reason why a lot of people waste, I know in the community.
So are we just focusing right now on this is people?
But that could be a whole different branch.
Have a way. It can
so
be
knowledge of preparing food. Knowledge of food preparation of what they're provided with.
I guess they can go in there with to keep from being food so much food waste.
I think that would fall under education too.
I think it falls under education.
Whatever way you guys look at it. So we have so far leadership and what else?
We have education and communication, waste, transportation.
What about food insecurity? Was that up on there?
No, I didn't put that. Oh, where?
Was it up there?
It's up there.
So would that be, would distribution need to go in there? Or would that fall under?
Yeah. It definitely would. And then we are the food hub. You understand what I'm saying? We would be that food. We would be that food hub. You understand what I'm saying?
I understand. I'm gonna say, let me say, it seems like we only focus on
you. You guys were talking about food insecurity.
Right.
Y'all got to think about it too.
So let me tell you what I've done. So I just got 4 acres of land. Now let me tell you what I was doing. Still farming, and I teach. So Maize Page is my program. I teach our youth. So I give them the knowledge. It's not just youth. I'm over in Carrot Shop Apartments. I build that. Yeah, so I built that area right now. I'm putting food resources in that area, and then I'm going to move the area.
All right, finish your last thoughts so we can honor everyone's time here and hear a little bit of a report back.
I take EBT SNAP in there.
Right. So I wrote down what you teach on average cost.
What you mean?
Like a bag of apples. Just curious.
I don't eat apples. You gotta give me something I'm not like two for five.
I grow what though?
Peppers, if we're doing peppers.
So you get two peppers for $5?
Yeah, or $3 for one. Remember, I'm banking them for they're babies, and I have to put costs in there.
Right, I understand.
Producing in the whole night.
Excellent. So, since you're writing last, you're not necessarily writing last. We're going to let you go first with presenting how you think that this organization could look like.
And then, we have 501c3 of those things. We have growers and producers.
Yeah, or you can just stand up just so people can hear.
These are different categories that we have the leadership and the policy should address. Okay.
All those are directed to the community.
Okay, yeah.
So if we have an evening dealing with grants, how we get to the community.
Uh-huh.
Okay, here we go. Everybody ready to listen?
Yeah. Some kind of nice
and
community
voice.
What is this? I'm going.
Okay.
Guys, listen up, please.
Who's going up for it?
Good.
We were more so focused on kind of themes and I think topics that we want to address.
Perfect.
In our reflections, we talked a lot about our personal experiences and gaps we were seeing in the community. So, thank you. So, one of the big things here just culturally appropriate foods and meals, being respectful of folks' religion, ethnicities, backgrounds, and not just giving them food and saying goodbye. Also wanted to focus on, I don't think the term is very adequate, but I call it quality controlled nutrition. I hate your name, I'm so sorry. Audrey. So Audrey up here was thinking, right,
making sure that when we're providing nutrition resources or nutrient-dense food, making sure that there is a qualified, credentialed person to kind of manage the quality of that and ensure it really is a nutrition-dense food. We talked a lot about eliminating food waste. That really covered a lot of things. The idea being, if we're all familiar with Aldi or Costco, you give out a bag of 5, 6, 7 lemons. How does a household use all of those lemons? Or how do we ensure the education is there on proper storage, shelf life, you know, or maybe a recipe uses, they get one recipe, but it calls for 1 cucumber, but they've got 3 cucumbers. Okay, now what do I do with the rest of those cucumbers without creating food waste? In the same vein, seeing that there is an opportunity for private partners or private and public partnerships. One of the things I experienced before the pandemic was I was fortunate to work at a large corporation who catered in lunch every single day and breakfast 3 times a week. The amount of food I saw get dumped in the trash because it's prepared food and it can't be provided to the community.
See each other after.
So I no longer work at that organization, but if we think about this as like Salesforce, right?
For sure.
So trying to serve that, but also Esther was fantastic. She was talking about she had a lot of great success in serving and educating children, and they took that knowledge and those resources home to their household, so they were able to spread it up there. And then the last thing was seeing success in Boston and somewhere else was having kind of a central but also an updated knowledge hub for like a consistent way to communicate the organization. So it was super simple. Everybody that had access to, you know, our coalition here in hypothetical sense has the same pyramid that shows the same structure that shows the same name. Everybody gets able to navigate in the same way, regardless of where someone is going to get that information.
Awesome. Good job, first table. You're cooking when you cook on the wall. We're sorry about that. That's where the sticky stuff is. And he brought some tape.
Okay.
All right, table two. You're talking still. This is good, but we have to focus. And you have to go outside right here. Well, but you know what? I got to surprise you. So here we are.
So we can go.
We
can
go. We got him. All right.
Okay, we was talking amongst our groups, Ms. Sarah, Ms. Deborah, and me, Devonna. It's pretty hard because I'm like, I'm coming in this not understanding what's going on, but I'm like, I'm here. And we talked a lot about as far as like the transparency amongst the groups and how they meet in the middle and how they talk and how the committees, I can't say the words, I got these tongue. Committees talk amongst each other and solve some of the issues that is kind of combined, because I feel like with retail foods, you got the nutrition issues as well as what is accessible. And my community, I feel like we have retail foods, but what is accessible isn't great for the community. And I want to see how we can nutritionally change the way we eat in the community. And then we also talk about diversity amongst the groups and what else? Education on how to, okay, so say on the east side, I see a lot of Hispanic groceries popping up. Myself, I can't speak Spanish, so I don't know what's going on. And the food that's available, you try to learn how to cook it, what it's called, and things like that. So we need to come together and communicate and educate each other on how we can integrate these type of situations, because it's food accessible, but myself, like, I can see people like me who don't know nothing that's going on in the grocery store won't go, because what do I know about it? I don't know their food, I don't know if it's good, I don't know how to cook this, I'm just going to Dollar Tree or Dollar General and get that food, and it ain't that great. The group, we talk about the people should have passion about what they're doing. You shouldn't be coming into the committees and not really want, you just there just to have an opinion. You need to have a passion for the food and passion for the people. And be open to the community. Like me, I ain't a regular person because I do have business with food, but I'm just a regular person just trying to understand. And a lot of y'all is like doing some stuff, so I'm just trying to meet and mingle.
Go ahead.
Okay, so do you want to talk about that?
Yeah, so I mean, there's all sorts of things that people currently are working on in the food space. How can we just strengthen those people who are already already have food pantries? Like, we have a farm, and we were providing a food pantry close to us with produce last year. They got a hole in their roof. They got tarps over their roofs. I mean, they need help. So it's like, if we could find a way to get a grant or some funding for them to just even put a roof over their head, who are feeding people weekly, I think that's going to lead to a lot better use of our resources currently.
Well, we was also talking about stimulating the economy with things that are available as far as like helping the people that live there increase their income, because a lot of times you don't have the money for the food, and that's why the grocery stores do not want to be in that community. So if they do, like, provide jobs as far as the groceries that could come into the community, like, what is it,
Indy Fresh Market.
Yes, they provide jobs with the community, and it's like, you know, you gotta stimulate the economy that you want to be in as far as, like, food-wise. I'm just trying to talk.
Awesome.
Look, this man, look at how he does.
All right.
Y'all did excellent. Y'all were a team. Good job.
I don't mind.
So we were kind of going with the idea that, you know, who wants to create a 501c, who wants to be under one, like a financial agent. And one of the things I was kind of thinking about was, you know, just through a little more information, the idea of a coalition, the funding where it goes, the idea of a coalition in the middle here, would be, of course, with a hub where we meet at. And then, of course, we have neighborhood committees that would have, like, so neighborhood areas, they would have their own committees. They would themselves would form, and then they would nominate a member or two members that would be in the coalition. The farmers, again, would have another committee that they would get together, and they would have a coalition. And of course, I said one of the things that you addressed was food education, conscientious food education. You know, a lot of the stores we have now, and a lot of the food we get now, we don't know what we're buying because of all the chemicals and stuff in it. Having a actual place where education can come from and teach people, you know, one of the things I like, you know, I'm passionate about is teaching people what's good and what's bad in food. And then having a community food hub. So I know they talk about having a main hub, but I think that there's great to have a main hub, but we also need to start with community. Having the community lead these food banks or whatnot, or have another financial agent for that. And then, you know, we were thinking we wanted a local consultant, someone who knows the area better, knows things about Indianapolis and the surrounding area. And we also want to, you know, make sure that we know we're, you know, address past, you know, basically moving forward. I think, you know, we don't know where we're going unless we know where we come from. And I think we need to have probably another meeting to kind of discuss that. And, you know, again, the farmers, having that farm committee and having the farmers form that themselves, and then have us work with them and have them work basically part of the deciding process. And then we also need to clarify if we are going to, you know, like the ordinance and where this information that we're doing here comes from. Like, it was an ordinance that was passed that allowed all this to happen. And so I think education-wise, we need to educate everyone in this room, everyone in the community, that there is ordinance, there was passings that, you know, the city had done that, you know, that hasn't been propagated because, you know, government doesn't really prolific information except for those who really look for it. So I think we need to address that kind of information.
Can I just give you one piece of clarification? So that piece, if you select communication on your form, that's exactly what that's about, right? For those to figure out how do we get that communication and education.
Yeah, and that's why I wanted to put it on here too, because I think it should be part of the Woodward Coalition building is.
That's great. Awesome. Can you take it over to James Carter? Coming. We almost need to get that last table another piece of paper. My goodness, that was good stuff. All right. You can stand there, or you can come up wherever you want to do, wherever, however you're comfortable.
They hear, but they ain't acting on it. So, is this going to be where
so we answer the question, we have boards and organizations established in a
position. Yep.
So we said some important things is first, there needs to be more needs assessment in our community to kind of determine what actual people need. Instead of coalitions, you don't need coming together kind of develop a program for people in need. And so also it's very important to build collaborations with other nonprofit organizations. Mm-hmm. Here in the city, I've been established since 2010, and a lot of organizations, they see you as their competitors, other nonprofit organizations. Mm-hmm. And that's one thing that is it's a barrier for a lot of small organizations to come out and help participate. Gleaners, charges us to get food, that they get for free, then we have to get together with other small organizations to ante up and go buy the food from them.
That I provide.
And then once we identify the people that are in need, it's actually going out and making it work with the volunteers and just other collaborators.
Awesome. Very good. Can you mind taking one of the tables? All right. How about this table? Y'all are doing good. I know we're a little past our time. We only have two, three more tables to go.
We're doing great. I'm getting it.
Right.
I forgot
this
whole thing.
That's right.
So if I take something out of my table, please speak up.
We want to
have everything. So,
we all can go up there.
Our concern
we go
was,
up there and put out
and his concern is the coalition, we want to see a more formal structure with this group and more transparency. What are the goals and purpose, which is why we're meeting today. I think that's been formally answered to a certain extent. But yeah, we just want to see more and more structure in the past, these different, that blob of all those different colors. I've been to one meeting, it's my second meeting, and I'm still trying to learn, so I have a lot of confusion. Some of the people at my table had confusion too, and it's a little overwhelming. How will this coalition be different from the past groups? What mistakes were made, and how can we not do them again? I think it's really important. I would really, because I'm still trying to absorb all this information, I would like to see more meetings to answer like those parking lot questions, because then it would help me better have a good idea of using what I'm good at, providing good information for the future of the coalition. And then who's appointing a leader to organize? So are we, as a group, are we going to appoint a leader? I personally would love to, have one person like leading, and then we give all their input and they put it together. All these different groups, all these different people mix match together. Diversity is wonderful and important, but I would like to have a leader so that we can follow that leader. I need a leader. I'm not a leader in that. I'm a leader for like a group, but not for a whole big thing. So I want to see a leader. That's kind of what we're asking.
Excellent job. Very good. All right, table the next. Right here.
You
may
hold it.
Nice.
Yeah, we too found the structure of city coalitions to be abstract. So we talked a little bit about structure we'd like to see, and I think outcomes that are important. And that includes, having someone who is kind of a point person, someone who's responsible, maybe somebody who is on a payroll, I think, where there is accountability and they're responsible for tracking outcomes and reporting and making that information available. And then having communication and transparency with the broader community. I think it's important to engaging with the community. I really like what people are saying about the small groups, like very small localized groups
in the community, in the each individual neighborhood.
We worked with Reconnecting Rural Waterways, and that they had something like that, where it was like, okay, here's this area, and they were like, they were underneath Lily, I think, and that was their fiscal agent, and then they were, I don't know what their actual structure was, but seemed really effective and lasted a long time. I think privatizing existing community resources, people who are already doing.
The library.
Yeah, yeah. Available. And so, yeah, that the public library as a source of resources for meeting and so forth, but also maybe the Library Foundation as a possible partner.
Yeah. Fiscal Nation, they're doing everything. The library, we did it. All right, everybody, good job.
We have meeting spaces that these organizations could, use.
Yeah.
Because they're 501.
Yeah.
And also,
the nonprofit workshop series.
The nonprofit workshop series that they do twice a year at the Central Library.
Spring and the fall. And I'm trying to get them to do it virtually also, but it's not there yet, but I'm working on it.
The library, Central Library.
Do you have a few contracts on them to do them, or
they show them yourself? So they have librarians who
specialization,
nonprofit.
I wanted to bring up that I think it's important to keep in mind not everybody has access to kitchens.
I think you should.
So making a variety of kinds of food available and like ready to eat food.
Because
that's what I'd like funding for community kitchens around there. Yeah.
Awesome. Good job. Well done. And table the last.
We gotta get up here.
Bad cleanup.
So at the table of farmers and someone from Gleaners, our focus really was distributing the food and growing. So it had to start with the leadership and policy. We thought about the food hub, having people with farmers and growers, and also individuals from the community, because they're the ones that's gonna be eating and getting the food. So having their input and what their community needs. Then we got to the educational part, because they need to know the knowledge of how the food is processed, what nutritional food is they need to be getting, and things like that, and how to prepare the food that we are growing that be good for them. We've dealt with the waste, then the food insecurities, the location. Is it accessible for the people to be able to get to it, wherever they get the food from? Then you have the transportation, getting the food to the community, because a lot of times the people can't get to the food. So do we have transportation to get the food to them? And just having the leadership make sure they're accountable and have accountability to holding them to the policies and making sure these are taken care of.
Yes.
Excellent. Thank you. So we are a little bit past time, but I do want to let you know that the whole idea of what our group had was so that all of those 1,500 members or 1,200 members, whoever's opening those emails, they feel like their voices are heard all the way up. That's how these started. And we know that it's been a little bit wonky because it is confusing. It was confusing to us when we were listening and there were just five of us. So the parking lot questions, we promise we will address these things. We will have, whether it's another focus group, whether it's a Zoom meeting to address these things, we recognize there are some other issues that need to be dealt with, as well as what is the structure of the coalition. So we thank you for your time. Julie is putting some stickers out, and if there's a couple of things, please keep it to two. If there's a couple of things that really struck a nerve for you, and yes, you can use both of your dots to vote for the same thing.
So does
I wouldn't, but
so which
yeah,
one is one higher than the other one? Is green more powerful?
No. Any color is good. So if you just stick them next to there, we will reevaluate. We will reach back out. Please make sure you fill out the bottoms of those forms if you are interested in some kind of where do we go from here and want to help with that, even if you're just communicating to the rest of your community.
So what we're gonna do, we have been asked.
I was asking what she needs for work, and she said she's hearing just from her home.
Once we're done with everything, we will summarize and push back out to everybody that came what all this information is, right? Because there'll be three different groups of people. Our hope is that there's some alignment among it, but obviously we have to go through the process. And then again, the next step will be those of you who want to participate further in developing what this structure will look like should circle that leadership part on the form, because you will be contacted for the next step.
And if you know somebody who hasn't been to one of these sessions or can't come to the Zoom session, take these sheets, make copies. The more people in this community who fill out the bottom half of that form, the more impact we have, because we're hearing from a wide variety of people. So
if you happen to have a question that you weren't able to ask or didn't get answered, go ahead and pull it up.
Y'all are awesome for the work you do. Thank you.
Yeah.